Job chapter number 1, notice there in verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said, "Hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" All right, now, we wade out into some really deep waters here tonight. And for whatever reason, when most of the scholars and most of the Bible believers hit this passage of Scripture, they lose their minds. And the reason is, I believe, because they just don't want to believe what it very obviously says. I'm going to show you some verses tonight, we're going to run some references, and we're going to get a little more into this Sons of God thing next week. But for tonight, I'm going to kind of set the stage on that. But first of all, I told you last time that I was going to talk to you a little bit about what it means to be perfect. I want to start there, and we'll see how far we get tonight. The Bible says here in verse number 1 that that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil, right? Now look down at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" God says this about Job. Here's what God said about Job. "A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? The reason I want you to consider him is that he's a perfect and an upright man. He fears God and eschews evil." Now, I touched on it briefly last week. You'll notice that man was perfect in verse 1 and upright, right? A, B. Feared God and eschewed evil. The perfect man is associated with his fear of God. The eschewing evil is associated with his uprightness. The fear is in the heart, right? The uprightness is in the way he walks. He stands upright. He walks the right way. So there's 2 things about this man. Number 1, in his heart he feared God, and in his life he behaved the way God would have him to behave. Those 2 things must go together for you to please the Lord. God is not talking here about sinless perfection. And let me say this, kind of getting this thing up off the ground a little bit. It is very, very possible for you to fear God and not eschew evil. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They fear God. They fear God more than you do. When's the last time you feared God so much that your hands began to shake? Your knees began to knock. You started beginning to sweat, man. I'm talking like true fear of God. It's not godly reverence and all this baloney that these guys always pumping out at people, trying to make them happy, trying to make sure they don't ruffle their feathers and don't tell them the truth about the Bible, because we just might lose members and the giving might go down. The reality is, it's fear. Fear means what? Fear. Fear God. The devils fear and tremble. Do they eschew evil? Do they walk upright? So is it possible for you to fear God but not walk uprightly? You know what the problem with most people is, most Christians is? They fear God, but they don't live like it. Do you know it's possible for you to walk uprightly and not fear God? Have you ever read the Gospels? You ever see the rich man when he came to Jesus and he had all this stuff? The Lord said, "Sell what you had and give the poor. Come follow me and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And what happened?
He walked uprightly. He eschewed evil. He did all these things from his youth up. But he didn't fear God. You know, a perfect man put them both together. When the Bible uses the word perfect, it doesn't necessarily mean sinless. Why does everybody always jump to that? Why, when you read the word baptism, do you always jump to water? Not every time the word baptism shows up in your Bible is it having to do with water. Why, when you see the word saved or salvation, do you always jump to the salvation of the soul? Not every time the Bible talks about saved or salvation is it referring to your salvation from a damnation in hell. Sometimes that thing is referring to your life. And Christian, you can wreck your life by not fearing God and eschewing evil. You need your life saved. From what? From train wrecking it. How? By living right. So not every time does the word perfect mean sinless. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to try to move quickly through these references so I can get to my second thing I'd like to deal with tonight. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be... Yeah, there you go. Two people found it. Are you there? Let's say it together. Let us therefore, as many as be... Well, there it is. Be thus... You know what it's talking about? It ain't talking about your flesh being perfect. It's talking about your mind being right. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That right there is not talking about sinless perfection. It's talking about you having the right mind about you. Go to Romans chapter 7. Paul wrote Philippians, right? Romans chapter 7. Look what Paul said. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh, see the parentheses, dwelleth perfection. Do you know some of these certain denominations out there begin teaching sinless perfection? They teach you that you can get to a point where you quit sinning. And here's some of the verses they use to do that stuff. Job was perfect and upright. That word perfect is not talking about sinless. Read your Bible. For I know, Paul, that in me, that is, he's making it clear, parentheses, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. I want to do right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not, man. I can't seem to do it. For the good that I would do, I want to do some good, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. If I'm doing things I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it. But sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God where? After the inward man. But I see another law in my members, that's in his flesh, that's in his body, warring against the law of my mind. Can I get a witness? Anybody in here struggle? Anybody in here not want to do something and keep doing it? You know, you don't want to be a... Let's just keep it, you know, PG tonight. You don't want to be a jerk, but you keep being a jerk? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now we're preaching. And then it could just keep on going from there. It's all kinds of things. There's a war going on. And bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is where? Paul. The Apostle Paul is saying, I ain't sinless. I ain't perfect. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God how? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's saying with my mind and with the new man inside of me, I can serve the law of God perfectly. But the problem is there's a war that goes on between the new man inside of me. I'm going to show you more verses in a minute to help clarify this. The new man inside of me and the old man you're looking at on the outside of me. And the problem is even though I'm born again, I have the Spirit of God in me. I still have the spirit of Mike Reagan as well. And so there's a war that goes on between what God would have me to be and do and what I want to be and do. And that war is constant. Christian, for you to be this Job, you have to give your mind and your heart to God, fear Him, love Him, and then constantly on a daily basis submit yourself to the Spirit of God and allow Him to control your flesh so you can walk uprightly, and then you're a Job, a perfect and an upright man. Does not mean sinless. Paul himself said, I'm not sinless. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There is none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. And on and on and on we can go. It is not talking about you being sinless, Christian. But God can look at you and say, there's a perfect and upright man. He is living exactly the way I would have him to live, thinking the way I'd have him to think, loving the way I'd have him to love, operating the way I'd have him to operate. All the time, that man is constantly doing everything he can to stay right with me. Job is a perfect example, getting up and offering sacrifices to get right and be right in case something happened that made him not right. You want to be perfect and upright? Not so easy. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Can I say this without being mean at all? Because I've been guilty of saying it myself. We say these little silly things like the devil's after me. 9 times out of 10, it ain't the devil at all. You know why? We ain't spiritual enough. Lucifer comes up there before the Lord and God says, hey man, have you seen my servant Job? Devil's like, yeah, I know who he is, but you won't let me at him. God's like, all right, I'm going to show you you're wrong about him. He said, I'll get him to curse you to your face. He said, I'm going to show you you're wrong about him. You're going to so easily and flippantly say the devil's after me all the time? I realize we wrestle against principalities and powers. Some of these little punks, his little imps, they're more than we can handle. They are more than most Christians can ever handle. Just the little imps. First John chapter 1. Hope you're in the back there in the general epistles. Look at verse 8. If we say we what? Is that present tense or past tense? That's present tense, right? We do what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He ain't talking about sinless perfection when he says perfect and upright. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. He is not talking about sinless. If we confess our sins, thank God for this one. This is Job out there, even confessing the sins of his kids, interceding for his kids. Gentlemen, I hope you intercede for your wife. I hope you're in a spiritual condition you can. I'm afraid too many guys aren't even in a spiritual condition where they can intercede for their wife. I hope you're interceding for yourself. I know Christ is the intercessor, but I'm talking about confessing your sins and getting right, going to Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I hope confession is an active and daily part of your prayer life. I hope the first thing you do when you begin praying is confessing. Confess what? I'm not sure I did anything wrong. Then just tell them, I'm sure I did a bunch. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And if you show me what I'm doing, I'll straighten it up. And stuff will start coming to your mind. You trust me right now. Stuff will start coming to your mind. And you say, yeah, that's wrong, Lord. That's wrong, Lord. That's wrong, Lord. That's wrong, Lord. Lord, I'm a mess. Please forgive me. I want to be a good son. I'm sick of being a punk. God help me. And then when you get yourself cleaned up, how about interceding for your wife? You pray for your wife? How about interceding for you pray for your kids? Oh, the devil's after me. You're a Job, right? Uh-huh. Sure. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch verse 10. If we say we what? Past tense. You know what he's telling you right there? He's showing you in verse 8, present tense sin. He's showing you in verse 10, past tense sin. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Right? God don't want you to sin. And, he didn't say but, there's no contrast. He knows you're not supposed to and you're going to. There's no but. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Man, that's a blessing to me. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what's that say? The sons of God. Now, hold on a minute. He said, behold, what manner of love. Where's that love found? Throw me a verse. You've known it since you were in kindergarten, pre-K. John 3:16. God so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love. Oh, I'll tell you what manner of love. He gave His Son for you. The Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Wait a minute. What are you trying to say? Before I found that love, I wasn't a son of God? Exactly. The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It's just the stupidest things that people say, and religious people particularly. God is not everybody's father. You understand that? You become a son of God when you find the love of Jesus Christ. And if you've never found the love of Jesus Christ, in other words, you've never been born again, born of God, born of the Spirit, then you're not a son of God. Well, God created us. Hang on a minute. We need to let our Bible teach us some of this stuff instead of always jumping to conclusions that have been ingrained into your mind because you've always heard it said and it sounded really frilly and fluffy and great and, you know, oh yeah, of course. No. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world, the contrast, those are the sons of God and those who aren't, knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Man, they think you're nuts. They think you're crazy. Accept it. Quit trying to be cool with lost people. How about being loving? How about being a witness? But quit trying to be cool with lost people. I could care less. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm Pastor Mike. Everywhere I go, I'm Pastor Mike. And I'm A-okay with that. And they think I'm weird? That's absolutely fine with me. I could care less. I am weird. Because I'm changed. And I hope that I can help somebody else. And I can't help them if I try to act just like them. That's the problem with the church today. Act just like the world. Beloved, now, not before, are we the sons of God? Weren't before. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know yet. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, future tense, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Where's the hope? It's in the verse. It's not a trick question. Where's the hope? It's in you. It's that new man inside of you trying to get you to do right all the time. It's that piece of you that's perfect. Are you sealed with the Spirit of God when you got saved? Right? Didn't He, we've done this before, the circumcision made without hands, He cut your soul away from your flesh? Right? You're sealed under the day of redemption? So there's a perfect man inside of you. And that's the war. You want to be perfect? You tune into Him. You know, most Christians can't hear the Holy Spirit. They have no idea when He's talking to them when He ain't. They aren't filled with Him. They aren't listening to Him. They're not sensitive to Him. I'll tell you how to be sensitive to Him. You want to be I'll tell you, you know, you can go through your day without even acknowledging your pointer finger. You know it's there and it's operating. Cut it. Grieve it. And you'll feel it. You know what the problem with most Christians is? They don't even know how, what He expects of them. They're so out of tune with Him that when they're grieving Him, they can't even feel the grief. There's something inside of you that's perfect if you're saved. And if that hope's in you, you purify yourself, in verse 3, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Are you in Him when you're saved? Absolutely. So from a salvation standpoint, are you perfect? From a physical standpoint, according to what the Bible teaches, are you perfect? Are you expected to be? Ouch. Yeah. Yes. He wants us to yield, and I don't have time to run all the references, but Romans, I think it's 7 or 8, I think it's 7, yield your members as instruments unto righteousness. You used to yield unto unrighteousness, now I use my body to serve the Lord. I use my body to study my Bible. I use my body to preach. I use the brain God gave me to run references and to lay things out, to seek them out, to set them in order. I use my knees to pray. I use my hands to give and to be a blessing and to help other people. Now I want to yield my members instead of to the things I used to yield them to. I want to yield my members to God, to righteousness, to doing the right things. Same body, gonna die, going to a grave. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But now, instead of allowing sin to reign in my mortal body, I say, I don't have to obey it in the lust. I'm gonna put that down, and I'm gonna follow something else inside of me, which is the Spirit of God, so that I can be that perfect I am salvation-wise. I gotta get my mind and my heart in tune with Him to be that perfect and upright, yielding your members. Man. Fearing God and eschewing evil. Verse 5. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You walk with the Lord, I guarantee you, listen, this is a bold statement. I guarantee you, I've never done the wrong thing when I was walking with, obeying, and fully in the control of God. You know what your struggle is going to be the rest of your stinking life? Walking with God. And your flesh is constantly, the rest of your life, your flesh is going to rise up. You are chained to a problem. And it will always be a problem. That's a scary thing, man. Can you get the victory? Yeah. Yeah, but Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. You think you're going to outdo Paul? I doubt it. You think you're going to outdo Job? I doubt it. Little children, verse 7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan, speaking to Peter. You realize the devil can use you? Do you realize the devil can use you, even though you're saved? The lifelong debate for all the Bible believers, can a Christian be possessed or oppressed? What difference does it stink and make? Either way, the Spirit of God ain't in control, the devil is. I got my opinions on that, but I'll keep them to myself. I think he can get into your flesh. He can't get in your soul. If sin can rule and reign in you after you're saved, why you get all jacked up about somebody saying a Christian can be devil possessed? I think I've met a ton of them. A ton of them. Is that possible? Well, I just asked you a question. Is it possible for sin to reign in your mortal body? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, what about that? See? They'll take you here and they'll say, see, you can be perfect and sinless. But it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. It doesn't end there. It says, for His seed remaineth in Him. His seed, and He cannot commit sin because He is born of God. That whole thing is talking about the saved part of you. Do you understand that? That's talking about the new birth. That ain't talking about your flesh. It's talking about the seed of God's Holy Spirit inside of you that does not sin. On and on and on through here, it tells you to quit sinning. And if you say you don't sin, you deceive yourself. The truth isn't in you. And then they come here and they take this one verse, pull it out of context, they pull it, jerk it right out of the whole book it's in. And say, see, a Christian can be sinless. Uh-uh. And God was never telling Job, the devil, that Job was sinless. But He did say this, he's perfect and upright. So that word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means that man was doing everything God had for him to do as best as he possibly could. And he was making sure that he was applying the proper sacrifices at the proper time for the mess ups. And that's 1 John 1:9 for you. Now, we already touched on this sons of God thing, right? I said before you weren't. Back to Job, if you would, please. I said before you weren't a son of God, but now you are, right? After you're saved. Verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves where? And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So he's referring back to the earth where he came from, right? Now, if you just read the English and just pay attention to the English, it's pretty obvious this occurrence is not taking place in a worship service on this planet. But for whatever reason, that's how a lot of the guys teach it. They'll say this. They'll say the sons of God is the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men is the ungodly line of Cain. Which is the biggest crock of baloney when you start running the references. If you look at what the Bible says and start defining what a son of God is, you find out that these boys that are appearing before the Lord are some pretty wicked beings. And Satan's walking into that group among them. He's showing up with his clan to report to the Lord to discuss some stuff with the Lord and to see what's going to go on. Now, how in the world can those sons of God be fallen creatures? Go with me, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to dive into the sons of God next week a little better. Right now, I want to rewind just to take a step back and take a look at this thing about the image of God. Because as you know from reading your Bible, you know, God made man in his image, right? Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, Let us, there's your Trinity, make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, which was sinless, right? Right? Perfect. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God creates man and he creates him perfect. By the way, it's important to understand something. The word create means to produce or bring to pass, to cause to exist. Bring to pass from nothing. God created the heaven and the earth. He brought it to pass from nothing. Okay? Stay with me on that. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in God's likeness. Why does everybody tell you that? Why does everybody say that? Why does everybody say, well, we were made in the image of God, referring to themselves? That's the need. Everybody thinks that. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. They were perfect. They were sinless. You know what Adam begat? A son in what? A fallen likeness. When Adam walked up to his wife in the garden, he knew something had happened. Her likeness had changed when she took of that fruit. I believe I know what it is, but I won't bore you with the details. Quite literally, I believe her tone, her color, changed. And he knew immediately when he looked at her, oh no, that ain't good. Because the image was no longer the image of God. Fallen creature. Adam begets a son in his own likeness after his image. And called his name Seth. You know what that is? That's not creation. It's procreation. Procreation means creation is the word, right? Pro. Something, not, there's a pre and a pro. That creation comes after something. What? Man and a woman have a baby. Procreation. They come after mom and dad. There comes after him. There comes after him. There comes after him. Sons, grandsons. You know what you were created in? You weren't created. You were procreated. After the image of a fallen man. You were born with a sin nature. Right out of the gate, the Bible says you come forth from the womb speaking lies. Oh, we're all the sons of God. The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. That's so shallow. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Keep your finger here in Genesis because we're going to come back in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of God, the sons of Adam, men, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So procreation is not creation. Back to Genesis chapter 9. I'll show you a verse that can be used the opposite way. Genesis chapter 9. I like to look at my counterparts, I guess, will get their proof texts. Because I think you're a blockhead if you don't look at all the evidence. Right? Well, I don't believe that, so I'm just going to automatically kick out anything you show me. If I got an opinion, I believe something, and you think I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong. I want to see what you're saying. And then I pray over that thing, and I look and see if I'm looking at it right, the way God wrote it, or if I'm wrong. I don't care. I'm not trying to be right. God's right. My job is to show you how right God is. My job ain't to be right. Genesis chapter 9, look at verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God men are made. Made he man. Past tense. That is a past tense reference. He's not talking about continuing to make man. He said God made him in His image. That was the intent at the beginning. So God said, I'm the one that gave the life, don't you take it. That reference ain't a proof text for saying we're all sons of God, we're all made in the image of God. God isn't sinful. You were born sinful. God ain't sinful. This thing comes full circle. Go to Psalms chapter 17. Psalms chapter 17. I'll show you a real good verse. David didn't believe this stuff that some of these guys teach. Psalm chapter 17. Look at verse 15. You know what he understood? He understood he didn't have the likeness of God. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be, future tense, satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know what he knew? He knew he was fallen, and he knew he no longer had the image of God. He's saying, the day's coming when I'll have it. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll show you something that I hope will click for you. Look at, let's start at verse number 21. Now, think about this in context of what we're talking about on the image of God being made in His likeness. Are you ready? Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, did Eve know God? Did Adam know God? They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. So, hang on a second. The serpent comes up to Eve and says, hey, you're not going to surely die. God knows ye shall be as gods. We're going to come back to that next week because I don't have time tonight. He says, you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. So she knew that there were gods out there. And she knew that those gods were powerful. And she knew that those gods had some things that she didn't have and understood some things she didn't understand. And she started looking at God holding her back from the one thing, from the one thing she wanted and couldn't get. So she got unthankful for all that God had given her. And there begins the process of falling out of that image. Watch. But became vain in their imaginations. You know what he said? Ye shall be as... You know what he triggered in her? Her imagination. Just think of what you could be if God wasn't holding you back. He triggered her imagination. So that's the problem with some of you, is you listen to too much of it. You listen to the devil too much. Well, if we hadn't spent all these years in church, we could have had more family time. Yeah, if you weren't in church, you wouldn't have the family you got, you loser. Amen. I'm not trying to be too mean on you, but I'm preaching it myself too. You wouldn't have them if it wasn't for church. Think about all we could have if we weren't tithing. Unbelievable. What? Damnation for eternity? And a motorcycle. Really? What a jerk, man. I mean, how can I be like that? How can you be like that? That's exactly how the devil wants to play with your imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. She hadn't known any darkness at all. And all of a sudden, she's walking around with a heart like some of us got in our chest tonight. Your heart's dark. Your heart's dark and you need God's help with it. Because the devil's going to get advantage of you. I'm telling you right now, he's going to get you if you don't clean that thing up. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. God made us make man in our image and after our likeness, right? What happened? That glory was changed into the image made like the corruptible man. Folks, this thing is so powerful. I'm going to show you next week this Genesis 6 thing where the sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them wives of which they chose. And the movies that you watch where the aliens are wanting to procreate with people, that stuff comes from the Bible. And this thing took place all the way back here in the garden. Romans chapter 1 is showing you what happens to you because you're fallen and you got the same nature that Adam and Eve had when they fell. This is the process the devil will take to drag you away from Jesus Christ and down, 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 down to where you'll do things you never thought you'd do. You hear me?
Well, where God brought me from.
Yeah, well, be careful because you're going to wind up a sevenfold more the child of hell if you don't wake up and recognize what the devil's trying to do to you. Made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Into a lie, God said, don't eat. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, you're not going to die. You're going to be as gods. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. No longer in His image. That's exactly the process that the devil took her through. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 Corinthians 11. You want to be in the image of God now? You got to get in His Son. Until you're in His Son, you're not in His image. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Well, what about that? I remind you, he's speaking to the church. They got that image back. How? Through their new birth. Through being begotten of God. We'll dive into that more next week. You fell from that. You were born dead in trespasses and sins. But when you were born again, He has now predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you all of a sudden, now sir, you all of a sudden begin to be able to represent God again. What? Now you all of a sudden are able to bear His image again. Why? Because of His Son in you. Now no wonder the devil comes after you like he comes after you. He don't want to see that. You realize how powerful that is? When a man will submit himself to God and follow God and begin to produce the fruits of the new birth in his life, showing the Spirit of God ruling in him and reigning in him and filling him and flooding him, there is a power there that supersedes anything your flesh, your mind, your psyche, your intelligence could ever accomplish. And the devil don't want to see that happen. Let's look at one more verse. I'm gonna fast forward here. I'll come back to these other ones next week. I'm gonna fast forward here. Go to John chapter 1 verse 12. We'll close here. John chapter 1 verse 12. I'm using this whole thing to set up for you the sons of God. And I'm gonna show you why there's a distinction between what was happening there and what happens now. John chapter 1, look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? Become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, mom and dad, nor of the will of the flesh. I want to have a baby.
Well, I guess. Okay, I guess I'm ready, right?
The will of the flesh. I didn't say that with bitterness. I love my children. I just know how it gets, amen? You buy like 10 dogs and they're not doing it anymore, and so then you know it's time for a baby. That happened to us. Had a few dogs. We had a cat. The cat had a tragic end we won't discuss tonight. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You know, when you become a son of God, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you were born again, you became a son of God. And now all of a sudden, that image, that likeness, he wants to begin to develop in you. And the devil goes, oh no, 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 I lost his soul, but he's still got a flesh. And I'm going to provoke that flesh and work on that flesh. And I'm going to work on his life. God, back off and let me have him. And God put a hedge about Job. And God was saying, no, 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 don't touch his stuff. Leave him alone. And the devil said, of course he loves you. Because you bless him and you love him and you take care of him and you hold me at bay. Let me at him and we'll see how much he loves you. And God said, all right, let's see. And we start to wade into a story that has so much in the background. This first chapter, folks, we're going to set this thing up because what it's doing is it's setting you up to understand what goes on in the background of people's lives and in your own life. And that there's a warfare out there. And there is more to this picture than just an easy, quick read and oversimplifying everything. And though the sons of God are the godly line and the daughters of men are the ungodly line and hogwash. Sons of God is a spiritual thing. And you're not one until you get saved. But there are some over here in the Old Testament that are showing up before God with Lucifer that are not on God's side. And so God changed that thing so that no longer will those guys live eternally in damnation with no hope of salvation. And I'll show you that next week. All right, let's close in a word of prayer.